welcome to this week's Campfire edition of The Civic Flame. For those of you new here, welcome. The Civic Flame is a podcast where we take a deep dive into the U.S. Constitution and explore how it is and is not working in the U.S. government today. Campfires are when special topics come up that we step outside the specifics of legal issues and into the more socio-political, legal, cultural issues. For those of you who've been riding with us for a while, welcome back, and I'm happy to have you here. Today, we're going to start our two or more part coverage of what's going on with the U.S. attempt to invade Greenland. For those of you interested in maternal health issues related to Greenland and other Indigenous folks, my previous show, Birthzillas, does one of those, which you should feel free to check out. For those of you watching the news and wondering if the U.S. has lost its darn mind and how bad this can possibly be, this one's for you. So grab your crash helmet and your security blanket, and let's go. As a reminder, while I studied a lot of human rights and international law issues in grad school, I am not a lawyer. Fortunately, that means I do know a lot of people who know a ton about international policy. One of those should be joining us next week to look specifically at legal and human rights issues relating to Trump's desire to conquest Greenland. We want to push that one out a bit because the situation is moving so fast, we don't want to be obsolete by the time we publish. But let's talk about what we do know. Donald Trump has doubled down on his repeated claims, or jokes if you want to pretend he's not serious, that we need Greenland for national security. And that has put our allies abroad and a lot of us here at home in high anxiety mode. A few things to keep in mind. While this is a deeply unserious policy, as my friend Phoenix Ricks at Girl Friday has said, it is also a very serious one in terms of economic issues. This is a national security issue, but not in the way Trump is framing it. And this is directly related to what is going on in Minnesota. Let's take these things one at a time. Economics. Whenever you see a policy that looks completely bonkers or seems to come out of nowhere, follow the money. In this case, the money comes from tech bro billionaires. I want to be clear that if you are not a billionaire, you cannot comprehend the pathological greed in that group. And I'm not being hyperbolic either. I believe that sometime in the future, billionaires will be diagnosed as hoarders and studied for their sheer level of supremacy. If you go to the TED Talk blog and look for 6 studies on how money affects the brain, you will be able to access a lot of the information in detail that I'm summarizing for you now. One is that being wealthy literally changes your brain to be less compassionate. There's a whole set of studies on what is called wealth supremacy. Now, I'm not talking about doctors, lawyers, or even actors and the normal kind of super wealthy celebrity folks. I'm talking about people who have multiple billions of dollars. It is important to know this because Americans have a really poor understanding about orders of magnitude of wealth inequality. So let's talk about it. If I gave you $3,000 every day of the year, you would have a little over $1 million by the end of the year. To get to $1 billion, you would have a little less than $3 million a day. Literally, if you have $100,000 per day since Jesus was born, you would not even have $1 billion yet. I checked the math. 365 days a year times 2,026 years times 100,000, if you want to check. Your numbers might be a little different if you went back and added how many leap years there were. Why does this matter? Because there are thousands of billionaires and they control the money. They control the money very literally in that they have a lot of it, but they also increasingly have control over national, international, and global finance and governments. This is the issue with the study that shows the lack of empathy, and what they want is more. It is, at this point, hoarding. Capital mobility, the movement of money, rather than capital hoarding, the storage of money, is a sign of economic health. But that's not happening right now. What we're seeing is the hoarding, or consolidating, if you want to use the non-clinical term. These same folks are building bunkers and trying to figure out how to live in space because they are preparing for what they call the event, something that will make life on Earth unlivable. Why? Because they are literally prepared to destroy the actual planet in order to make more money. They don't seem to understand that destroying the social structure that makes money matter would make their money meaningless, but we'll get to that a different time. This is also where AI enters the chat. AI needs massive data storage that relies on natural resources. This is why electricity and water bills are going up around the country. Data centers are moving in, their fancy lawyers are getting them tax breaks, and they're using our water and our electrical grid to produce a product that takes our entry-level jobs. Some of this could be solved by mandating that all data centers be net neutral, making them have solar panels over their parking lots, one on all of their buildings, and so forth. This is still a problem with water use, but there are people who are experts on that, and you'll have to refer to one of them to figure that out. This insatiable need for water, though, is one of the main reasons that Trump has put Minnesota under siege. Minnesota has access to massive amounts of fresh water in the U.S. through the Great Lakes, but also a lot of resources in its state, in their forests, in their parks, and so on. These resources have been heavily protected by the state government, but their governor's seat is up for election this year. Their state house is pretty split between parties, but the federal elected representatives in Minnesota are also up for re-election. This is one reason Trump is targeting Somali communities and threatening to denaturalize or take away their citizenship, including their voting rights. So this is a natural resource grab, whether in Greenland or in Minnesota. But it's also got that underlying white Western supremacy ideology of we want it and indigenous people aren't using their resources properly. Properly in this case means for the benefit of rich white folks in an extractive and exploitative way. Colonizers gonna colonize. It's the real ABC in U.S. foreign policy. Always be colonizing. In the face of this reality of global climate change that is already affecting their lives, Greenlanders have done remarkable work protecting their land and their resources from extractive practices. Indigenous folks around the world have long histories of resource management that works with the land they live on. And it's something colonizer nations have never cared for, because colonizer nations see land and resources as money-making products rather than something to be protected and passed on. So then we get into Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, Russell Voigt, Sam Altman, Jeff Bezos, that whole crew that are so desperate to get their hands on all of this resources that they have literally bought the information sphere in the United States to try and convince us that it's a good idea. Remember, billionaire Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook and Instagram. Billionaire Peter Thiel owns Palantir, the global surveillance company that is also pronounced wrongly from the way Tolkien meant it. Again, when people show you that who they identify with in a fantasy epic movie is the villain, you should just go ahead and believe them. Billionaire Sam Altman is also a huge player in the development of generative AI that requires data centers. Billionaire Russell Voigt works for the Heritage Foundation and now for Donald Trump to gut the government agencies responsible for stopping this overreach. Elon Musk also participated in gutting these agencies, particularly the ones that were investigating him. And he owns media platform Twitter/X. Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post. Larry Ellison helped Musk buy Twitter/X and now owns part of the US version of TikTok. And his family has a controlling share in Skydance, which allowed him to take control of CBS News through his puppet Barry Weiss. And his son is angling to buy the Warner Brothers film studios to add to their collection, which also includes Paramount. That is almost the entirety of the US media sphere. Now, you'd think with all this money on the line, these people would favor global economic stability. But there are two things here. Rich people don't know how money works because they don't manage their own money. Once you achieve a certain level of wealth, wealth managers do this job to protect dynastic wealth. For more on this, I recommend Brooke Harrington's Capital Without Borders. But also, a lot of these guys, including Donald Trump, have invested very heavily in cryptocurrency. This should tip you off to know that they are knowingly planning to destabilize the global economic order. Why? Because the US dollar is the largest reserve currency in the world. What this means is that countries around the world engage in international finance. They keep a quantity of another country's money on hand. They pick a currency that is typically stable, has a predictable exchange rate, and so on. Since 1944, this reserve currency has been the US dollar, and it's used in global finance to help create stability for our money, to mitigate inflation on our end, even when the tariffs have caused it to rise. If you check out Investopedia's webpage on reserve currency, it'll give you more history and details. For what you need to know right now, it's that despite some downsides to it, having the US dollar as a reserve currency has allowed US businesses some serious latitude on the national and international stage. But if we attack NATO, of which Greenland is a part through Denmark, European countries and Canada may stop using the US dollar as the reserve currency. Remember that after the US banker-led global financial crisis in 2008, a lot of rich people got richer and a lot of poor and middle-class people lost everything, including their lives, not just in the US. And this led to some questions about changing the reserve currency, but there was not a viable pathway at the time. So political economists, even ones I like, said not to worry about it. It helped that the world liked Obama and his presidency came on the heels of that. But today, there are options, and it could lead to the diminishing of the US dollar, meaning everyone in the country would feel this, and a lot of people in the world. I wanted this to be a shorter episode, and it isn't, so I apologize for that. But the economic impacts of this will ricochet around the world. The billionaire class makes a lot of money on war. Remember Eric Prince, owner of Blackwater and his own private navy, went from $1 million company to $1 billion company pretty quickly at the start of the second war in Iraq. For more on that, check out the Behind the Bastards podcast episode on him. But remember that poor people pay the cost of war with their money and often with their lives, while rich people, as George Carlin tells us, run off to the bank. If war weren't profitable for wealthy people, we wouldn't do it. The reason the Republican-led House of Representatives is threatening to impeach Trump if he invades Greenland has nothing to do with the sovereignty or rights of people in Greenland. Those same Republicans are letting Trump illegally kidnap the president of Venezuela and declare that the U.S. is in a position of leadership over there, even after Donald Trump got his participation award of somebody else's Nobel Prize. Someone online referred to that as the equivalent of handing a child a remote control for a video game that's not plugged in and letting them think they're running the character. Basically, same premise. Maybe if we just tell Donald Trump that he owns Greenland, everybody will calm down. But the reality is, this could get worse before it gets better. So follow the money to figure out why these decisions are being made. And don't let people who have a vested financial interest in running roughshod over the sovereignty of another nation convince you that it is about anything other than an extractive resource and money grab. I usually don't take such a hard line on issues in my podcast, because when it's a matter of opinion, what you think about something is your business, not mine. But the reality is that attacking our ally, Greenland, will be catastrophic for the US economic security and moral security reasons. I don't want to point fingers here, but this is all George W. Bush's fault. Or more precisely, the fault of every world leader who didn't call for George W. Bush to be tried on the international stage for illegally invading Iraq in 2003. The entire Bush administration should have faced legal consequences in the US and abroad for the illegal invasion and occupation of Iraq. The failure to do so left the door open for things like Putin to invade Chechnya, Georgia, and eventually Ukraine. Obama's actions in Libya and Syria, they're also related here. Trump thinks he can use the military as the strong arm of US international economic policy because no one has stopped or punished a US president for doing so. Ever. The United States has done what empires throughout history do. They have turned their tactics of oppression on their people at home and continue to expand for the oligarchic class in a way that will stretch the empire to collapse. The billionaires are already prepping to buy their way out of this crisis and leave the rest of us holding the bill, the same way they did in the global financial crisis of 2008, during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and every other time. We must stand with the sovereign people of Greenland and our allies around the world against this illegal, unwarranted, and unjust invasion. It is a moral choice. It is the ethical choice. And at the end of the day, it is the only choice that will give the United States a shot at a secure future. Take care out there and add a few more dried beans to your prepper supplies, because things might start getting wild. Until next time, keep the civic flame burning bright, even if you have to set something on fire. This campfire edition of The Civic Flame is a collaboration of the Dr. Fun Sponge Media Group with creator Amber Veo and sound producer Matthew Munyon. As always, thank you for listening.